G'day mate, how you going? This is the Lethal Mullet, and tonight, episode number 233, we're going to be celebrating this film called Rapid Fire, which is one I really enjoyed, even from the first time I watched it, which was actually at a high school camp. We sat down and watched it. I do believe it was on a VHS at the time, big concave set TV at the time. But I got to say, this is a film which, you know, for years I've really enjoyed. I think, honestly, up there with his portrayal of Eric Draven, Brandon Lee did a fantastic job of showing that he could not only be an action star, but also be a compelling lead and a great actor. This is a film which, you know, he's pitted with some great talent, you know, with people like Powers Booth and some of the other actors we're going to be talking about tonight. But I think, too, the action film itself is, you know, a slice of 90s that really brings some of the greats and, of course, some of the great, fantastic stunt work and stunt players we've come to know. All of that here and more tonight on episode number 233 of the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Welcome to Phantom Podcast Network. This is Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of 1980s action cinema. Celebrating the heroes of yesterday, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Bruce Willis, Van Damme, all the way down to, of course, the big great action films that we all enjoyed on VHS, and of course, Betamax, with the loves of American Ninja, all the way through to Cyborg Cop and beyond. Here at Phantom Podcast Network's Lethal Mullet Podcast, join Adam O'Brien as we celebrate.
And welcome back, folks. I hope you've enjoyed your week and enjoyed the last episode about the Starship Troopers Chronicles, better known as Roughnecks, which is a fantastic series. If you haven't already seen it, you know, even though the CGI is quite dated, you know, it was very pioneering in terms of CG, just like Babylon 5 was as well. I think, you know, you got to give it credence for what it is. It's amazing and well worth checking out. So, I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, here, of course, on FPN's Lethal Mullet Podcast, to look at, of course, 80s, 90s, and beyond action cinema, and, of course, all the in-between, and we'll even do some modern stuff too, folks, that's right. And tonight, we're going to be looking at Rapid Fire, which is pretty much the big A-grade film for, of course, Brandon Lee, son of Bruce Lee, which, you know, came out at a time where, you know, a lot of 90s stars were really kicking the high grades, like obviously Hard Targeted hit with Jean-Claude Van Damme. We had Steven Seagal pretty much at the high point with Mark for Death and Out for Justice. We had, of course, Schwarzenegger and Stallone out there. You know, it was a pretty big, and if not anything, brilliant time to be into muscular action cinema. Then along comes Bruce Lee's son, Brandon Lee, who's, of course, you know, more an actor than a martial artist. And one, of course, a late great Brandon Lee, which, you know, sadly passed away, you know, that tragic accident on the set of The Crow, which we will be covering very, very soon, folks. We're going to be covering The Crow here. You know, it's a classic film. It is, you know, it's a tragic film in terms of losing, of course, Brandon Lee, but his performance and, of course, the movie itself is something, you know, not just from a movie standpoint, but also from a standpoint of the music. It was a real slice of that mid-90s, early 90s, if you like, cinema. And, you know, it brings a tear to my eye every time I think about it. I think about the time, high school, when I was in it at the time, really getting into the soundtrack, The Cure, obviously Nine Inch Nails and Helmet and Pantera, all those big bands, but also Brandon Lee as well. You know, I was heavily into his stuff at the time, you know. Obviously, this film, he'd done Kung Fu, The Legend Continues. He'd also done Showdown in Little Tokyo, which I still think is a film a lot of people need to, you know, give a chance and really watch, even though it's about 80 minutes long. You know, that's what films were about, but, you know, the run times were smaller back then. You got bang for buck, so you'd see it many times in a cinema. Mark Lester, director, of course, Commando, and many other films. But Brandon Lee, really, he was geared to be more, I think, an actor than an action star. Yeah, obviously, you know, he's the son of the late great, also Brandon, Bruce Lee. And of course, being Bruce Lee's son, you know, a lot of people were committed to seeing him being, you know, a continuation of Bruce Lee's brilliant, you know, screen person of martial arts and all that sort of thing. And he delivered his own. Brandon Lee definitely had the Jeet Kune Do and definitely a Wing Chun aspect to his fighting, which we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about some of the, obviously, action in the film but and the martial artistry and some of the great stunt players that are in this film. And you know the guys we're about to talk about. We've got people like Al Leong. Al Leong does a fantastic fight scene at the end with a knife. And obviously in that laundromat, we get to see him versus, of course, Brandon Lee. And it's brilliant. Again, Al Leong, still to this day, one of the greatest stunt players out there. And if you haven't seen his documentary, you should. It's fantastic. You know, he's brought so much to us. Not just the kung fu artistry, the forms that he's known for. Obviously, he's you know, fantastic with weapons, forms, and kung fu. But also just his, you know, abilities on screen and his presence. He really has a great presence when it comes to cinema, action cinema itself too. So that's what we're looking at tonight here, and of course, the Lethal Mullet Podcast. So lots of news about, obviously, there's some great films out. Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny. I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but of course, there's mixed reviews and stuff like that. I will go and see it before it obviously leaves cinemas. We're going to be looking at that very, very soon. We're going to spend an entire episode dissecting what James Mangold has been able to do with, of course, Steven Spielberg and George Lucas's franchise about, of course, the archaeologist named, of course, Henry Jones Jr. Look at that then, folks. We've also got me guesting on an episode of Couch Potato Theatre on, of course, looking at Chance Boudreau. That's right, Jean-Claude Van Damme's Chance Boudreau. And, of course, Hard Target from 1993. It's been 30 years, folks, since that grace of screens, and the celebration is going to be with Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel and Kyle Wagner. Oh, that's a bit rusty, isn't it, folks? I'll get that back somehow in perfect stead. But, of course, Kyle and Kevin of FPN are having me on, and we're going to be looking at, of course, Hard Target. Covered it many a time. We've done even a Couch Potato Theater back in about 2018. That far back, folks, looking at this great film. But that night, which is going to be tomorrow, so it's, well, this will be airing on the Tuesday, folks, so this has already happened. But Sunday, 9 a.m., of course, Pacific time, Australia. And it's, of course, Sydney and Brisbane time, folks. We'll be live on Phantom Podcast Network's YouTube channel, looking at why this film is the way it is. So you'll be getting all the martial artistry and, of course, John Woo witticisms from me. And, of course, look at, of course, from the layman, of course, Kevin and Kyle, who love this film too and, you know, love it from a movie standpoint. And we're obviously looking at from what John Woo was really adding from, of course, his great range of films that he did in Hong Kong, you know, The Killer and Hard Boiled and many, many more over there with, of course, Chow Yun-Fat. Many others, Andy Lau, etc., overseas in Hong Kong. And, of course, a lot of what he did, he revisited in these bigger budget and massive films like Face Off, Broken Arrow, and, of course, Mission Impossible 2, set in, of course, Sydney, which is definitely the worst of the Mission Impossible films, and less said about that. And the soundtrack of that film, the better. But without a doubt, I think Hard Target for me is Jean-Claude Van Damme's most interesting film and best film. You know, he really had this French, character down pat. This is a character that is part of New Orleans, Cajun French character, who's an recon marine. I was about to say Royal Marine, but he's not a Royal Marine. No, he's a recon marine, which is pretty, you know, straight up there, elite of the U.S. Marines, as far as I know. I don't know that much about the U.S. forces, but I know Recon Marines, practically a commando unit. You know, they're right out in the front lines out there. But what's interesting about what Van Damme has done in this is that it's a step above what he's done before, which, you know, you think about it. Bloodsport, Kickboxer, Cyborg, Wrong Bet, and then after that we had, obviously, Double Impact and Death Warrant, and then pretty much straight big into, of course, Universal Soldier, which really launched him and, of course, Lundgren onto a much bigger platform with, of course, Roland Emmerich directing this sci-fi action and with the big muscle-bound soldiers that are brought back from the dead from Vietnam. And in this one, we get, you know, obviously Van Damme's really got to show his own in this. You know, he's got Lance Henriksen as a villain in this, playing Emile Fouchon. And, of course, we have the great Arnold Vosloo, one of my favorite actors, by the way. Vosloo's always been a wonderful talent. Didn't really like working with Van Damme too much back here. I mean, mind you, Van Damme was addicted to cocaine at the time. Small fact. But, of course, he's cleaned up his act since. And everyone that talks about Van Damme these days has said that he's wonderful, laid-back, very nice guy, particularly Scott Adkins and some of the others that have worked with him since. And, of course, Scott Adkins did the sequel Hard Target 2, which, yes, we'll cover here soon, folks, because there's people that want to talk about Scott Adkins and me. Well, I definitely do. Particularly, obviously, we covered Avengement earlier, and that's a great film. If you haven't seen it, you need to go and check out this British gangster epic with, of course, one of the stars from Cliffhanger in it. And he goes, oh, I love Shocker. Yeah, that guy. I used to be Goldie, eh? Yeah, that guy. But, you know, it's definitely something worth us looking at as far as it being a great action epic and definitely something to get into, no doubt. Another one that we're going to be looking at very soon here in the show, a bit of news for you, is Heat. Heat. That's right. No, we've done Heat, but we haven't done Heat 2. That's right. Michael Mann has written the novel Heat 2, and a number of you listeners have written into us and asked for this to be covered and look at a bit of a dissection of the novel. Well, I mean, it's not a movie, folks, and I'm a movie review page, but Heat is a movie, and yes, the novel is a sequel to our favorite Michael Mann film, with, of course, Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, you know. But they are working on a sequel film, and Adam Driver is taking over from Robert De Niro, playing Macaulay character. So, yes, Heat 2 I will cover soon here on the podcast. I enjoy the novel quite a bit. It is very much a Godfather 2 style story. So it's both forward and backwards from Heat itself. So yeah, it's definitely different. It's definitely a bit of a crime epic, and definitely something I think you guys will all be interested in. And no doubt, it's great to have a look at what it's going to be from here to where it's going to be as a film. You know, like, it's going to be different. You know, adapting even, you know, the same writer is doing the screenplay. You know, no doubt it'll be Michael Mann doing that. And Michael Mann is a fantastic writer or creator, director, whatever you want to call it. I mean, he gave us Manhunter. Without a doubt, the best of the Thomas Harris, Hannibal Lecter series. I mean, I like Silence of the Lambs, but Manhunter kicks it in the teeth, folks. Brian Cox as, that character just about knocks it out of the park. Occasionally, we'll get messages and, of course, emails from you, the listener out there, to, of course, Phantom Podcast Network and, of course, the FBN page, about things you'd like to see on Lethal Mullet or any of the podcasts we have here on the channel. And, of course, we have one now from Geordie, all the way from the USA, who has asked us to look at, of course, the great Desperado trilogy. And you know what? It's something I haven't had a chance to talk about here on the show, and I'm a massive fan of Robert Rodriguez. He's done an amazing job, of course, with his work on Dust Till Dawn. That is something I'm going to be covering very soon here too. And he's got a trilogy of those, by the way, folks. A trilogy of movies of Dust Till Dawn, which I've got a pack of in, of course, the cinema, of course, the Quinlan Cantina. We've also got his work in Desperado, of course, El Mariachi, Desperado, and, of course, Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Each one of them is a classic. Desperado definitely is my pick of the bunch. And we're going to be looking at why Antonio Banderas did such an amazing part in that. And of course, along with Salma Hayek and the rest of the great cast. It's an amazing cast. Danny Trejo, folks. Can't put it past him. Now, we're going to be looking at that and without a doubt look at some of the other work that Rodriguez has done. Sin City is something I'm a big, big fan of as well. But, you know, the big part is, of course, Desperado and Dust Till Dawn. So stick close to us, folks. We'll be looking at those very soon here on, of course, Lethal Mullet Podcast.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is...
G'day, my name's Gowan. Follow the Lethal Mullet here. On Fandom Podcast Network's master channel at fpnet.podbean.com or subscribe on the Podbean app where you can find all the shows. Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast. Culture Clash, a weekly look at pop culture. New look at Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast. And also check out The Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe from me, the Lethal Mullet. You can also check out this show and all the others like What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, and much, much more. All on FPN. You can follow on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all podcatchers. Make sure you follow me, the Lethal Mullet, at The Lethal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
On tonight's highlight, we're going to be looking at, of course, Rapid Fire by Brandon Lee. This is a film I got to see in grade 8 or 9. I can't remember which one, but it must have been at least year 9. And it was, no, year 10. There you go, folks. I now remember because I had long hair at the time. Yeah, less long time ago to actually have hair on my head. Yes, the Lethal Mullet had hair, not just a mullet wig. But, of course, year 10 was interesting because we got this film which, you know, I've been told about seeing trailers of, and it was definitely Brandon Lee's chance to hit the highlights, to be really something when it came to action cinema. You know, he had obviously a pretty big thing to come past, and that is, of course, being the son of Bruce Lee. Can you imagine what that's like for a person? You know, you've got somebody who's the greatest martial artist in the world, in history, according to, you know, obviously cinema and all that sort of stuff. Huge name. I mean, massive name. Bruce Lee kicked down a lot of doors and, of course, you know, made a lot of headway when it comes to cinema, martial arts, everything. And to be the son of that would have been hard. But, of course, Brandon was somebody that really wanted to show his own worth and really show that he could be just as interesting, if not more interesting than his father. He gave his films, of course, like Laser Mission, which, yes, we're going to cover here, folks. Why? Because it's Ernest Borgnine and Brandon Lee. Why not? We've also got some other great ones where, obviously, Showdown in Little Tokyo, I've covered here before. We're going to be looking at some of his other ones as well. The Crow. I mean, you know The Crow, folks. We've talked about it, how good that film is. And, of course, you know, Michael Wincott in the cast, of course, Ernie Hudson. Just some amazing talent in the film itself, too. And you got Skank, because Skank's dead. That's right. We're going to be talking about that, of course. You know, many, many others. We'll get into that when we do. And, of course, it's a tragic film, as we've talked about earlier in the prologue. But no doubt, James Abarsnall came to an amazing film, which to this day is still one of my favorite films. And, yeah, particularly for me, growing up as a teenager in that time, it was a phenomenal time to really be involved in wanting to watch action cinema of that type. And anyway, we're going to get into this film, Rapid Fire, which to me is an action thriller, which was something that was really, you know, prominent in the time of the 90s. You know, you had Steven Seagal, Van Damme, and Dolph Lundgren in particular as well. Olivier Grenier, Dom the Dragon Wilson, Jeff Wincott. We also had Jeff Speakman. All these great talents just pumping out films. Cynthia Rothrock as well. Can't forget about Cynthia. Still doing an amazing job and still looks 20 to 30 years younger than she really is. I mean, Cynthia, hats off to you. We will be looking at China O'Brien soon here on the show. Cynthia, we love you. You're amazing. Now, having said all that, Rapid fire is an interesting one because not only do we have obviously Brandon coming in here and pretty much putting his action stamp down, if you like. You know, this is his action style. But we have some great talent behind the scenes. The first of those, of course, is Powers Booth. Great actor. Obviously, you know, I first saw him in Red Dawn and Southern Comfort. Obviously, he's in Deadwood and so many other roles, you know. He's been in Van Damme films as well, like Sudden Death. And he's just a gritty, classic, you know, actor. Somebody that is, you know, more cowboy than anything else. Obviously, in Tombstone, played Curly Bill. So, you know, there's so many different parts that he's played. And he's a great mentor character, particularly in this one. He's a mentor to, of course, Brandon's character. So, folks, we're going to do a deep dive now into, of course, Rapid Fire. Why Brandon Lee was about to be the biggest action star on the planet. Who could be calling at this time? Mate, we're right in the middle of an episode. All right, come on, who is it?
All right, lad, have I got you on the phone, like? Oh, right, you must be in the mullet, like.
Yes, you're on live right now on FPN's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. And how can we help you?
Oh, just a Glaswegian lad, my name's Stephen. Now listen, mate, have you covered one of the greatest action films, Dog Soldiers? If you haven't covered this, it's the greatest Scottish cinema.
Yes, Stephen, we've already actually covered that many, many moons ago. And yes, it's a fantastic film, Sean Pertwee, Liam Cunningham, and of course, your own Kevin McKidd. It is a fantastic bit of action cinema. But no, tonight we're looking at Rapid Fire.
All right, yeah, well, short control bursts from Kevin McKidd. Like, you know, he grabbed himself a pot and pans and still took on the dog soldiers. You know, the werewolves, lad. And not only did he take them on, oh, man, he got short control bursts. And if anything, it was a bit of rapid fire.
Rapid Fire opens up in Thailand with Antonio Serrano, who's a mafia dealer, drug distributor, and, of course, an associate with Kinmen Tao, who's a kingpin, a drug kingpin in Thailand. But Serrano is having trouble back in Chicago, where he comes from, and wants to work together with, of course, Kinmen Tao. But he is knocked back by Kinmen, knowing that he's a deadbeat and not able to deliver what he needs to. So, from here, we look back to, of course, a character by the name of Jake Lowe, played by, of course, Brandon Lee, who's turned off from politics. This is, of course, through the death of his father in the Tiananmen Square massacre in China. He's an art student in LA and, of course, is lured by Chinese pro-democracy activists to a party. And this is through, of course, him being an art student and a beautiful woman who gets basically him pulling him across to that. From here, he witnesses Serrano coming in and, of course, killing Carl Chang, who is the head of the party. Who is also an associate of Tao, Kinmen Tao. From here, we have Serrano and his men come in and try to, of course, take on Jake. But, of course, Jake knows Kung Fu. That's right. Jake knows what the hell he's doing and, of course, is able to take out all of Serrano's men. But also, he's from there seen who is trying to kill everybody. Using, of course, his martial arts techniques and disarms, he's able to literally level the playing field in this studio. From here, he's taken by the police into protective custody here by federal agents and, of course, a lot of them wanting to take him to Chicago to testify against the one and only Serrano. Now, from here, the agents take him to a safe house, but here's then there's an attempted at murder on him where from here, they find out all of them are corrupt. Jake, of course, uses his martial arts to escape through the window of the place and is able to find his way through a police detective named Carla Withers. Carla Withers gets him away to, of course, an undisclosed location in a bowling alley where the police have got an underground, basically, operation going against Serrano. From there, he meets the partner to, of course, Carla Withers, Lieutenant Mace Ryan. Of course, Mace Ryan is, of course, the one and only Powers Booth. He's the lieutenant of the operation, and of course, he's trying to get, of course, Tao for the last 10 years. From here, he's trying to get Jake Lowe to work with him to go against, of course, Of course, Tony Cinerano, and of course, Kinmen Tao, which is the big wig. Now, from here, Jake is also pursued by one of the federal agents, Frank Stewart, played by the amazing and iconic actor, Raymond J. Barry. If you haven't seen Raymond J. Barry in things, yeah, I mean, you probably missed half the movies in the 90s. He's just in about just about everything. It's fantastic. But, of course, in this, we've got him basically doing deals, if you like, with Serrano. And there's even a scene where he takes him into, of course, the middle of Serrano's place and wants to do a deal, pretty much. But from here, the Serrano and him have a massive gunfight, and this pretty much levels the mob operation in there. From here, this is when we have, of course, Kinmen Tao come to Chicago. And from here, the operation goes all the way to, of course, Laundromat, where we get to see an amazing fight between Brandon Lee and, of course, the great Al Leung. This is a film which is tiny in terms of minutes. It's about 90, 95 minutes, something like that. Brought to you by, of course, 20th Century Fox, and it was released on August 21, 1992, theatrically. The film did a box office of $14.4 million in North America alone, and is definitely something that really put, I think, people on the map when it comes to action and character acting and stuff like that too, which we're going to talk about in a sec, particularly the cast. It's a hell of a cast, folks. For an action film, this really delivers in terms of the people that it has. Directed by Dwight H. Little, and of course written by Alan McElroy. Of course, a story by Cindy Cirilli, and of course Alan McElroy. We've also got produced by Robert Lawrence, starring, of course, the cast we've talked about. Edited by Gib Jaff, and of course, cinematography by the amazing Rick Waite. Music by Christopher Young, and of course, this is a film which pretty much was in Australia by about 93, or late 92 at least at that stage. Like I said, I saw it at a year 10 camp. So it was definitely on VHS by that stage. And it was on the first night of the camp. Very funny camp, by the way. but at the same time, it was, you know, a hell of an action film to really show the kids at the time. You know, we've been shown a lot of stuff at schools, like Free Jack with Emilio Estevez and some others as well. But folks, there's a lot here to unravel. Now, the copy I've got of Rapid Fire is actually in a two-pack from Fox. It is both Rapid Fire and Marked for Death on a double disc DVD, which came out back in, of course, the amazing 2001. Now, I've had that for a few years. I now have got Marked for Death on Blu-ray, of course. Haven't had the chance to look for Rapid Fire anywhere on Blu-ray. You know, I don't know if that's ever going to happen here in Australia now that Blu-rays are no longer coming out to Australia. Everything's just streaming. But, of course, that's the plot of this film. Yes, hello, you're calling FPN. How can I help you?
Yes, hello there. This is Alan all the way down from South BA. I got to say, a great little show that there, show the culture clash. It was quite good talking about all things pop culture there with good old Kevin and Kyle there.
Yes, they're a bunch of good eggs, those two. They're fantastic. And big shout out to Kevin and Kyle. And thanks for the friendly review of that.
Yeah, then there's that Hadley fellow. What's his name? Daniel Hadley. Dan Hadley. Well, see, he's pretty good. I don't know which doctor he's talking about. He keeps saying Doctor Who. I'm saying who? Which doctor there, Mr. Hadley? Come on now. Here in the U.S. of A, we don't know which doctor you're talking about.
So, hell of a cast, folks, which we're going to talk about now. This cast is, of course, you know, one that really supports, I think, at the end of the day, the great man that it was, Brandon Lee, the late, great Brandon Lee. And backing him up, of course, is the late, great Powers Booth, which we've talked about. But one we haven't talked about too much is, of course, Nick Mancuso. Now, Nick Mancuso is an actor who's been on a lot of stuff. Known for, of course, William Strannick's supervisor and, of course, hand in, of course, the Special Operations Theater in the Under Siege series. And, of course, he turned in a performance in Under Siege 2 as well. He's an Italian-Canadian actor and, of course, playwright and director as well, born in 1948. Nicodemo Antonio Massimo Mancuso is an amazing actor. Definitely somebody that's, you know, able to really give a menacing performance, but a down on the luck good fella in this is what he plays, and he plays it well. He's definitely the pick of the bunch when it comes to the bad guys in this, even though Raymond J. Barry pretty much does that too. He was born in Calabria in Italy and emigrated to Canada in 1958. He grew up in Ontario and, of course, got a love of acting in high school. He studied psychology and, of course, was at the University of Toronto. From there, of course, he got into theatre and, of course, really found his way. And, of course, came to stage and then, of course, into film. Now, he's also in a number of movies which you probably wouldn't believe. So, putting him in the running to play Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark, after doing, of course, what he'd done in, of course, the local theatre and all that sort of stuff as well. And from there, he played the main role in the NBC series Stingray in 1985 and 87, and also played the Antichrist Franco Macaluso in Apocalypse as well. But, of course, we know him in this one also, of course, for Rapid Fire. And, of course, he's still working today all the way through. The last film he did was in 2018 with Road to the Lemon Grove as Guido. Definitely check out his material. It's great. He always puts in a stellar performance. Raymond J. Barry. Born in 1939. Yeah, he's a fair age now, folks. He's 84. He's born in New York, and he's an actor which, you know, you're not going to believe just how much he's been involved in when it comes down to it, too. Been in more than 75 plays. Obviously, he's known for his many roles, but one of the more interesting ones, Interview with the Assassin, portraying Walter Olinger. This is with a man that claimed to be the second shooter on the grassy knoll, and, of course, the assassination of the one and only John F. Kennedy. And, of course, he was Ron Kovic's father and, of course, born on the 4th of July, the Tom Cruise film, all about, of course, the Vietnam veteran Ron Kovic. Massive film for the 90s as well, that one. He's been in everything from K2 to Training Day, Dead Man Walking, Falling Down, The X-Files. He was also in Justified. You know, it's just a lot of different stuff he's been involved in over the years. And he was in Year of the Dragon. He was in Cop in 1988. That's a pretty big one. Cool Runnings he was in as well. Sudden Death, he's also in that with, of course, Powers Booth, folks. Same actor you're going to see in this one as well. And he's also in Just Married, The Ref, which is probably one of my favourites that he did. He gets some great lines in that. If you haven't seen that Dennis Leary film, it is worth checking out. We've got Kate Hodge playing Colour Withers. Seymour playing Kinmen Tao. Now, Seymour is definitely somebody we should have a look at here. Seymour is a Hong Kong-American actor. He's been in The Man in the High Castle in 24, Dante's Peak, Rush Hour 3, Arrival, Mulan, and, of course, Tiger Tail and The Farewell as well. Many other films, but, of course, Rapid Fire is probably the first thing I really noticed him in, and mainly because I watch action films, folks. He was also in Hell on Wheels, that great series with, of course, Captain Pike, and Wu Assassins as well. He's been involved in the modern reboot of Kung Fu as well, but he's also in a lot of other little ones here and there that you probably didn't realize he was in. He's in Robocop 2 as well, Chain Reaction with, of course, Keanu Reeves, Red Corner. He's also in The Quiet American, The Lady Killers as well. And he's also in, more recently, Tiger Tail, Mulan, and, of course, The Kid Detective. It's been a lot of TV over the years, The Equalizer, Cosby Show, Star Trek, The Next Generation, and many more. Great actor, and, of course, he's the lead villain of this film. We've got Tony Longo playing Brunner. We've got Michael Paul Chan playing Carl Chang. Now, Michael Paul Chan is an actor that's been in so much material over the years. He's an American actor known for, of course, The Close of Major Crimes, and, of course, U.S. Marshals, playing one of the assassins in that too. Now, he's involved in a lot of the stuff we grew up enjoying. One of those series that I'm currently rewatching then is, of course, Babylon 5 as well. He's in The Simpsons as well. He's been involved in Megiddo, U.S. Marshals, The Spy Game, The Protector, Quicksilver, Joy Luck Club, The Insider, and Thief. But we're also known for Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, The Insider. We're also known for, of course, Joshua Tree. Yes, Joshua Tree from 1993 with Dolph Lundgren, folks. Amazing stuff that he did in that one, too. It is a great film. Okay, we also have Basil Wallace as Agent Wesley. Now, Basil Wallace, of course, from Mark for Death, you'll remember as Scarface. That's right, he played the two Scarfaces in it, in Mark for Death. Now, of course, that is, you know, an interesting one because, of course, that one he plays twins, twin brothers, Screwface. And from there, he's pretty much got a pretty big run for it after that, which is just amazing. And of course, he's in Wedlock, Grand Canyon, Rapid Fire, Return of the Living Dead, Free Willy 2, Caught Up the Wood, Joyride, and all the way up to, of course, Blood Diamond in 2006. Of course, great film. Now, what we haven't talked about too much here, of course, is from the start of the film, Dustin Nguyen. Of course, the amazing actor that, of course, starred as, of course, Harry Truman Aoki in, of course, 21 Jump Street. And he's on VIP as Johnny Lowe. Now, he's somebody that's been involved in, you know, stuff since the 80s, folks. You know, the late 80s when 21 Jump Street was huge. He's born in Saigon, South Vietnam. And, you know, he's somebody that's been involved in both action films, drama, TV shows and stuff like that over the years. As we said, General Hospital. And he's also in Highlander, folks. Great in Highlander, actually. Sequest DSV. He was also in Heaven and Earth. And, of course, he's somebody that's, you know, likes to make films all the time and make films in Vietnam full time. Made his directorial debut in a Vietnamese fantasy film called Once Upon a Time in Vietnam, which I've got on DVD and it's fantastic. He's also involved in Warrior, of course, is a role that is ongoing as well. Amazing actor and definitely martial artist as well. You could tell he's definitely had some training of some type and he does well with it as well. Which, of course, brings us to the star, Brandon Lee, the late, great Brandon Lee. Brandon Bruce Lee, tragically passed in, of course, 93. Of course, when he was making the role of Eric Draven in The Crow in 1994, which we'll cover very soon, folks. Now, he's an amazing talent for the time. Legacy of Rage was his first big one in Hong Kong in 1986, followed by, of course, 89's Laser Mission, Kung Fu the Movie in 86, and, of course, Kung Fu, the next Generation in 87. But, of course, it was his buddy film, Showdown in Little Tokyo, with Dolph Lundgren that really kicked things off for me. I loved it, 1991, great film. And then, of course, 92, Rapid Fire, which we're talking about tonight. His role in this is really good. He's obviously somebody who's strained to the past and really having to relive a lot of what is going on from, of course, his father's death at the Tiananmen Square Massacre. But what also is here is, of course, the will of him to want to do better once he's coerced into, obviously, facing down what Kidman Tower's doing and, of course, to the people. There's an amazing amount of martial arts in this. And one of the great things is it opens up, obviously, that big art shop, pottery and all that sort of stuff, or whatever it is. And it is an amazing attempt by the gangsters to try and kill somebody that really knows how to use their body. A lot of it's martial arts-wise trapping, and then times the things like, of course, it's definitely a Wing Chun influenced and influence of different JKD principles that we get to see here. Even some boxing and a little bit of kickboxing and a lot of, if not anything, acrobatics as well, which is something his father sparingly did, but you get to see Brandon do quite a bit, and then even in his other films, quite a bit of as well. He's very flexible, quick, accurate, and, of course, powerful. So in this film, we get to see that. We get some great sequence, him on a motorbike. We get to see him using guns as well. There's the great alley fight with the Chicago police or the federals in this that are corrupt. We get to see him, obviously, too, taking on the men in the Chicago gangster club as well. And, of course, the great sequence with Al Leon, which is without doubt one of the better fights that Brandon did in his time. This film's fantastic. If you haven't seen it, you need to. It is a 5 out of 5 on the Hallenbach scale. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has many a thing to say about deep thought.
And Deep Thought itself has many a thing to say about the guide. But who are going to give you a guide through the maelstrom and enormity of the guide itself? Hosted by two unexpected travelers, the Lethal Mullet, all the way from Quinlan's Cantina in the Milky Way, and of course Dan the Man from Birmingham. All on the other side of the water, they have hitched a ride and come to Ursa Minor. Tell you all about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you can find whenever you find good podcasts.
That's right, folks. Check out the brand new show, Deep Thought Life, Douglas Adams and Everything, monthly on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on the socials at The Lethal Mullet. You can also check it out on YouTube very soon on the Spacebook Network, hosted by the one and the only co-host here, Dan the Man from Birmingham, Dan Hadley. All here. And don't panic, we'll be back.
Hi, this is Tom Caldwell from Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network, inviting you to check out our show. Once a month, we release an episode about the films of the great master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. You can find us on Facebook at Hitchcock Good Evening, on Twitter at Good Evening Pod, and along with myself and Brandon Shane Mutala and Chris Haig, we bring you a fun and friendly show that you can enjoy alongside your viewing of the films of Alfred Hitchcock. On behalf of the program, I wish you good evening.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.